Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy. It is so, so very, very exciting to hear what happened yesterday when the doctor who was on, which I don't know what you call them, a doctor, but there's plenty of people you can call doctors today that are right. doing what, you know, Gosnell was doing in aborting children. Mm-hmm. Well, he was on trial. He was on trial for delivering children being delivered in an abortion attempt. Abortion means trying to kill the child.
Right.
And the babies were born alive to the point where they said some of the babies, they could even play with the babies. Another yeah. baby, I mean, it was just very tragic. But listen up to CBN News, and we're going to talk about this. This is a great answer to prayer, and it's the beginning of things changing in America.
Thanks for joining us on the CBN News Channel. I'm Charlene Israel.
And I'm Ephraim Graham. A Philadelphia jury convicted late-term abortionist Kermit Gosnell of murder. Now he could face the death penalty. The gruesome case highlights a terrible problem in America. Partial birth abortion is not just limited to Gosnell's House of Horrors. And this case may change the debate over abortion. John Jessup has the latest.
Throughout the eight-week trial, late-term abortion doctor Kermit Gosnell and his attorney maintained his innocence. But immediately after learning his fate,
Dr. Gosnell, your reaction to the murder.
He had nothing to say. In the end, jurors found the evidence to convict Gosnell on multiple counts of first-degree murder for killing three newborn infants after they'd been born alive. He was also guilty of involuntary manslaughter and the death of a 41-year-old immigrant who died from a drug overdose during a botched abortion. It took jurors 10 days to convict Gosnell on those charges and more than 200 other counts violating Pennsylvania's abortion laws.
I respect what juries do. I don't always agree, but I respect everything that they did, and they should be commended for their efforts.
Gosnell operated this clinic in West Philadelphia for 30 years before it was ultimately brought down for illegally prescribing painkillers. But what investigators found was far worse. They described his clinic as a house of horrors, with blood-stained walls, unsterilized medical equipment, and fetal remains stored in the employee refrigerator.
It is clear that this person was not following the rules. And we have a role in society of making sure that those people who don't follow the law pay the consequences of not following the law.
The jury has yet to determine whether Gosnell should get the death sentence. It is a case that's left a dark stain on Philadelphia, one some hope to remove.
This year alone, just in these last 4 months, we've saved 10 babies. The most recent was just a week ago.
Elaine Russo runs the Hope Pregnancy Center, not far from where Gosnell practiced. It's on track to save more lives than it did last year, 27. The center is the brainchild of Pastor Herb Lusk, who ministers in the heart of the inner city.
One out of every two pregnancies in the African-American community right now are aborted. One out of every two.
Lusk says he decided to start the center after he noticed women in the church who, in his words, were pregnant one Sunday and no longer pregnant the next.
I kept seeing them, what is going on? And realized that with all the abortion mills in our neighborhood, that many of them were using abortion almost as birth control. At that point, I knew that I had to do something, and just talking about it was not going to be enough.
Even now, with the clinic closed and Dr. Gosnell convicted, many in the pro-life movement say the fight is far from over. They worry there may be many other clinics that may be operating under the radar, just like Kermit Gosnell's clinic did. John Jessup, CBN News, Philadelphia.
This is this is amazing, because it's like a blind eye has been turned to the justice of the reality. And if you have not yet heard on VFN TV the teaching, no one cries for justice. And it's so important, because we will not cry for justice until we understand the mercy and the forgiveness and the grace and the mercies of God as he served justice on his son, Jesus Christ. Outside of Jesus, it's rough. But in Jesus, Jesus takes that blow of our sin, and we can make things right personally, and we can begin to cry out that, and we want others to be able to know Jesus Christ as their Savior and as the one who took the justice for their situation. But we've got to cry for justice, and the Word of God says no one cries for justice. Well, people have been crying out crying out since what, 5 years?
At least,
2007, 2008, thousands and thousands of hours that we joined in the harmony with Louis Engel and with International House of Prayer, and every Monday for 24 hours or 3 hour shifts, many of us have been praying and just asking God, you know, and it was just birthed out of the heart of a passionate Malachi drive. Malachi 4, 5, and 6 is, dear God, end abortion, send revival. So often people are asking for revival without the ending of the shedding of innocent blood. And if you have not also heard Josiah, you know, we are Josiah.
That's right.
Josiah on VFN TV, go to VFNTV.com and watch it on VFN TV. It's so important because we have to do something. We are Josiah, and we have the, in America right now, we have that authority. So this is definitely a great, the way our system works, it's a nation of laws. It's based off let the decision stand. When there's one case that happens such as this, then you can actually build other cases off of it. You'll refer to this case. It's called Let the Decision Stand. Mm-hmm. And other judges now will begin to make decisions based on what this judge has done.
Right.
And they may take it all the way to the Supreme Court trying to do away with it. They can't do away with it. This guy was killing these children. And the nurses witnessed it. And his witnesses in his case is reportedly, Fox News reports that it was his nurses. It was just nurses.
Wow.
And these children were being delivered alive with the attempts. The whole goal was to end their lives. And when they found out they were alive, he would take scissors and just cut the back of their necks, spines.
Yeah.
And it was just tragic. But you know what? This has been 50 million children this has been done to. Mm-hmm. 50 million. And it makes me think of, when I think about those that bought into this lie, I think about Catherine Davis. She's the director of the Minority Affairs, and this particular doctor he's an African-American. He was killing African-American children.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, that's just, I can't believe that. And it's just a whole thing, period. It's just bad. But listen to her. This is her sharing about her experience when she bought into it, because prior to 1973, abortions still were legal in the state of New York. And from what really took place, it was really 1963. When all this began to happen, and 1973 was the fruition of passing a law that they kind of bought into and began to legalize that, or done away with all these particular laws that prevented a woman could ask at that point. But listen, this is the reality of what's taking place, and this is Catherine Davis just sharing about her experience. Listen up.
I was in college. I went to Tufts University up in Medford, Massachusetts. And most people don't know that abortion was legal in some states in 1972 before Roe v. Wade. And New York was one of the states that had legalized abortion. And I actually flew from Boston to New York and had the abortion. I had choice because I knew my mom would have taken the baby. I knew that. But I was grown. And so I didn't want the baggage, in all honesty, of having a child while I was in college, because I had a vision for my life and it didn't include children. It was a very horrific experience for me. It was not this, it's nothing like, you know, more than pulling a tooth. That is a total lie. When I got up from the table, they gave me cookies and juice to drink, and they let you lay there for like 10 minutes, 15 minutes before they shepherded you out and herded in the next group. And when I stood up, their sugar and cookies didn't work, and I fainted. And I think I fainted because of the horror of what I had done. I knew it was a baby. I knew it was another life. And so, I just was heartless. And I think that's the case for many of us. It's just selfishness. It's just heartlessness. It's just, you know, I can't be bothered right now. And And I think that we just don't want to face the lie because we know. And I think if you ask any woman that's ever killed her baby, she'll tell you, I knew.
This is Catherine Davis. She's now the director of the Minority Affairs for Georgia Right to Life. And she is just sincerely talking about her own experience. And she's interviewed, obviously, a lot of girls, a lot of ladies at this point. Mm-hmm. And she says, that's how it really is. It's not what people say it is. It's just all about self.
Wow.
It's all about, you know, what I want. Mm-hmm. I had a vision for my life.
This one,
and this vision, the byproduct of me, you know, having being sexually active outside of marriage or even inside of marriage, mm-hmm. is wasn't in the birth of a child, wasn't in her plans. Right. Well, Leviticus, the book of Leviticus, chapter 18, verse 21, talks about how evil the sacrifice of children is in God's eyes. Understand, first of all, I want to say to any lady out there, any woman out there, any girl out there that has done this, you got to call it what it is. But if you'll do that, if you'll acknowledge it and say, ask God to forgive you and turn to the Lord, he forgives you. Not only will he forgive you, then you can ask him to heal you and restore you. Mm-hmm. And then you can say, dear God, I won't remain silent anymore. And then he can use you like Catherine Davis here in Georgia. And you can begin to help a lot of other babies not end up this way. And forgiven is forgiven. I mean, God will forgive you. He'll restore you. He'll heal you and he'll use you. And so I just want to preface this with that, but to understand in Leviticus chapter 18, verse 21, he says what he says. He says, do not give any of your children to be sacrificed to Molech. For you must not profane the name of your God. I am the Lord. He's declaring that. And they were shedding their own children's blood for personal perceived gain from their gods. This is what Israel was doing. Mm-hmm. They were shedding their own children's innocent blood for their own personal gain. That's what Catherine just said. Catherine said, this is not in my plan. I have gains in store. I have a vision in store. So I'm going to sacrifice this child for my own personal gain. I'm going to shed the blood of my child for my own personal gain, what I want. This doesn't fit in my box. Israel, according to Leviticus and the Word of God, they were even burning their children's body to death for personal gain, mm-hmm. to this false god named Molech. We have to understand, says, you know, that's present today. If we sacrifice 50 million children since 1973, reportedly, that's 50 million sacrifices of children. And amongst all the ones that this quote doctor unquote sacrifice, three of them, he's going to end up serving life or being put to death for these three.
Right.
But the question remains, what happens to the ones who killed the other 50 million?
Right.
What happens to the other ones who killed the 50 million? I was watching some things on the Constitution, and in California, they have laws there that are outside the Supremacy Clause in the Constitution, because the Supremacy Clause in the Constitution says that any federal law will have supremacy over any state law. That's why you don't want these laws passed on a federal level, right. Because all of a sudden, it doesn't matter what your state does. It's all one country, and the only way that you can change things is to leave your country. Right now, you can just leave your state. If you don't like what that state's doing, you can vote with your feet and go to another state. Well, the Supremacy Clause says that, and it's against the law to buy and sell drugs, marijuana. But yet they're producing and selling marijuana and taxing it and all this stuff in California, over 3 million in...
Colorado.
No. It started in California. It's California. And... They're doing it almost like a pharmacy now. Mm-hmm. but it's like a pharmacy. And you go in and you get your marijuana, different types of marijuana. And I can't think of the particular city. This Oakland, which has a lot of history of a lot of trouble in Oakland. This particular organization that's selling this marijuana in a professional way was proud of themselves that they are the top, one of the top 10 taxpayers in Oakland. But this is what he says. He says, and I'm going somewhere with this, he says, but every day I wake up and I don't know if I'm going to be free or the federal government is going to come to arrest me because I'm, he's walking, the federal government says I deserve 4 or 5 life sentences for every certain amount of drugs that you sell. You got to have a life sentence. So if you get arrested in Nevada, for example, for what he's doing, you get a life sentence.
Wow.
And, but he's in California, so he's not getting a life sentence. But there's still a supremacy. So any moment the feds, according to the supremacy clause in the Constitution, can come in and arrest him and everybody that's messing with that.
Wow.
So he lives now in that constant, I don't know what tomorrow holds. Mm. And now that's exactly how abortion doctors feel in America.
Right.
They feel the very same way.
They
don't know. Well, they don't know. Now there's a case. There was no case prior to this. Mm-hmm. Now they know. Now they know that you can go to jail and you can be put to death and be labeled the murderer you are. You say, well, that's not happening in my state. But let me tell you what. That doctor's going to get up every day. He or she's going to get up every day now thinking that they can be next. So no matter what Congress does, no matter what the judiciary branch does, no matter what the executive branch does, every doctor is going to begin to think that that can be me on CNN News tomorrow, and people screaming and yelling at me and calling me the murderer that I am. And I just really believe, even right now, I'm just going to pray with me. Lord, we just pray that their eyes would be open and their hearts would see that this is murder. It's the murder of children, sacrifices to Moloch, and bring them to a place where their eyes can see, their ears can hear, and their heart can just repent and begin to just say, you know what? I'm washing my hands of this. God, end abortion. Yes. Sin, revival. Yeah. And by the way, the reason why there was a jury before this case, and that when this doctor was arrested for being accused of Gosnell of killing these children, they didn't just go, okay, we're going to take you to jail. They said, we're going to take you to court. Mm-hmm. And then because of our Constitution, he had constitutional rights. So he could actually, they first had to prove their case and witnesses had to come and testify about what's going on. Since the babies, the law that was passed under President George W. Bush, that says that when the child is born alive, then at that point, the law considers that a patient, not a fetus, as they would try to do.
Right.
And it has to be treated as a citizen, has constitutional rights. Mm-hmm. And so you had the child now had constitutional rights, because if they actually determined that this child was murdered, they determined that this child was alive, then all of a sudden, it was something that happened between two American citizens.
Right.
Two U.S. citizens. So the Constitution applied to everybody concerned. In addition to that, each state has been, according to the Constitution, has your own courts, your own laws, and all the things that are happening such as that. And so in the state constitutions, they set up courts where you have a judge and you have a prosecutor and you have a defense attorney. The prosecutor would be the one that was bringing the case against this doctor, Gosnell, and the defense attorney was the one that would defend Dr. Gosnell's constitutional rights. And the prosecutor attorney is the one who would prosecute on behalf of these children who were murdered, their constitutional rights. This all would happen in front of a judge, but it also would happen And it did happen in front of a jury of our peers. This is a unique system, by the way, that is so important, because think about these children who no longer have a voice. A murder victim no longer has a voice. But there is a constitution that says, but we will defend each American citizen. And so a jury was selected to hear everything that the prosecutor had to say on behalf of these children who were murdered, everything that the defense attorney had to say on behalf of Gosnell. And then the judge would look over that to make sure things were happening in the constitutional way it's supposed to happen. All these witnesses were called in. All these nurses allegedly came in and shared what had happened. And then the jury went out into deliberations, and they went and reviewed all the things that they heard and everything. And everybody had to wait, not the judge, not the prosecutor, not the defense attorney, not Gosnell, not even the children who were murdered, and not all the people watching, not all the pundits, not all the newscasters, and all that kind of stuff. Everybody had to wait for these American citizens that were chose to be on that jury to decide the guilt or innocence of this man. Is he innocent or is he guilty?
Right.
And so you may have heard that the jury's in deliberations. Well, we're talking about original intent. That, remember this, that happened because of our Constitution. It happened because of our Constitution that he was being tried by a jury. And that's so important, because if we're not being tried by a jury, as a matter of fact, it's the Sixth Amendment.
Mm-hmm.
It says, in all criminal prosecutions, and that's what was going on. He's being prosecuted for a crime that he allegedly committed, but now he's been convicted of it. Mm-hmm. The accused, these are American citizens. The accused shall enjoy the right to a speedy and public trial. So this whole thing was public. By an impartial jury of the state. And so you had the jury that heard everything. That's the impartial jury of the state. I'm reading from you from the Constitution. That's why this thing happened this way.
Right.
This is how these dead children got justice. By an impartial jury of the state and district wherein the crime shall have been committed, which district shall have been previously ascertained by the law, and to be informed of the nature and cause of the accusation. In other words, they had to tell them, you're being charged with these cases of murder. And I believe it was five, two of them.
Originally, five.
To be confronted with the witnesses against them. So the fact that people had come in and testified against Gosnell, that's constitutional. He had a constitutional right to watch these witnesses come in and testify publicly against him,
mm-hmm.
which he probably would have foregone that. But
all right.
And to have compulsory process for obtaining witnesses in his favor, so he could bring in other witnesses that could testify on his behalf, and to have the assistance of counsel for his defense. That's the Sixth Amendment to the Constitution. This is what we would say when I was in law enforcement, I was arresting you or something. I would say, you have the right to remain silent. Anything you say can and will be used against you in the court of law. If you cannot afford to hire an attorney to represent you, then we will see the ones provided for you.
Mm-hmm.
Do you understand these rights? And they would say, you know, yes or no. And then at that point, you say, understanding these rights, which is your constitutional rights, because the police officer is not the judge. The police officer, the deputy or the police officer, are not the jury of your peers. That's why they can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
But if you want to do away with the Constitution, I'm going to tell you something.
All right.
If you want to do away with this Constitution, The present mindset of our present government, these children would not have gotten justice. But they got justice because of the Constitution and because of many prayers of the saints that have prayed and asked God to bring justice. It's the Sixth Amendment to in the Bill of Rights, the Constitution. And so I want you to remember, when we're watching these things, they don't just happen. They happen because we have, and the word Constitution means what we're made up of. So we are a nation of laws. And the preamble, we talk about the preamble, but think about it. And we've talked about this a little bit earlier, too, in the month, I think. But the preamble to the Constitution says, we, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice. And that's what just got served with Gosnell. These children got justice.
All right.
To establish justice, so the purpose of the Sixth Amendment was to be able to establish justice. Because, you know, he could have been innocent. You know, we can't just listen to all the media. We need to know that he went before a jury of his peers who heard all the evidence, and they made the decision. We can't just buy on. Even though they were like, man, this is terrible what he's being accused of, we got to find out that he did do it.
Right.
You know, that he did, he is an abortionist, and that he did do that. The purpose of the Constitution is to establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, to provide for a common defense, promote the general welfare. And that's what we're doing, working on our children, and secure the blessing of liberty to ourselves and our children, or our posterity, the people that come after us. Do ordain and establish this Constitution of the United States of America. Listen. We've got it. We want to have this Constitution. It's optional. We could do away with it and no telling what would happen, and you could be the next one on trial. Or you could be the next one that needs justice. The scales of justice. That's why you see it always weighed out with two different scales. And it has everybody weighing the evidence, bringing the evidence in. And our system is built off of this. It's better to let two guilty men free than to send one innocent man to jail. And so with that, that means when you have to bring in this evidence, you've got to really prove your case beyond a shadow of a doubt that they've committed this crime. You cannot have any doubt at all. Mm-hmm. And so if there's any doubt, all of a sudden they're accusing this one particular person in the courtroom, and it's a scenario case, and then all of a sudden the defense attorney says, well, did you ever investigate his brother? His brother does the same kind of work. He does all this kind of stuff. And then the prosecutor would have to come up and say, no, Your Honor, we never did consider them. So now the jury of the peers says, well, why didn't they investigate everybody? Why did they just pick one person out? Mm-hmm. And so there's a probability they're going to go back and say, listen, this thing was leading all the way. This guy was going to go down. But now there's doubt. These guys predetermined this man's guilt or innocence, and they just chose he was the one, and they did not investigate everything. They took our place, and they became judge and jury. And because of that, a guilty man gets off. People say, I can't believe they let him go, but it's like sloppy work or just judgments happening on the streets.
Right.
And this is a beautiful system. That it's not the perfect system. It's called a more perfect system. And think about that. So when you hear people saying that we need to change these, the Constitution, it's an outdated document. So the one saying that is like, there's term limits in there.
Yeah, you know? Right.
Thank God for that. Thank goodness. The very fact that the Constitution exists says that we can only have to hear that for so long, and then they have to come up for election again. But it's amazing what's taking place. So in continuing this conversation about the Gosnell verdict, and I'm like, Mark Downey talking about it. He says, I don't even want to call him a doctor.
Mm-mm.
We'll just call him, you know, Kermit Gosnell. And, but since then, and I'm going to be talking in a moment just about the statistics about abortion and what you're seeing right now, you're seeing, an escalation of the destruction of children as quick as possible. At the same time, while they're promoting all kinds of free sex and promiscuous behavior and imagery and media and all this kind of stuff, which causes people to be enticed into things they may not have done, and next thing you know, a child is a result.
Right.
And even to the point now, they're wanting to fund and have funded reportedly, with federal monies, abortion. And the answer to a lot of things happening in Africa with, some of the Bill Clinton's organization, the Global Initiatives and all that, listening to him on C-SPAN, he's talking about, you know, they advertise abortion and the Plan B pill.
Oh, wow.
And so the answer for darkness is always just kill someone.
Mm-hmm.
Just kill someone. And the answer in regards to Christians is preach them the gospel. Tell them about Jesus Christ. Let them know that God can empower us and keep us. And if we walk rightly before the Lord, then these won't have to happen.
Right.
But murder is a sin that will send. This is what he says in the very last chapter of your Bible in the book of Revelation on 22. Let me just read it to you what it says right here. Because you hear people, and it's like, everybody goes into heaven. Everybody's right. going to heaven. And everybody's in a better place. But he says right here, this is what he says in Revelation 22. He said, blessed are those who are washed their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may go through the gates into the city. He's talking about heaven. Outside are the dogs, those who practice magic arts, the sexual immoral, the murderers, the idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices lies, falsehoods. He says in Revelation 21, verse 7, he says, but the coward, the unbeliever, the vile, the murderers, the sexual immoral, and those who practice arts, the idolaters, and all the liars, that they will be in the lake of fire.
Mm.
And it's like, okay, then it's sin. It's sin. And, you know, there, if you committed one sin, this is what the Word of God says, you've committed them all. So don't think, oh, there's no way God will forgive me. No, you've just been confronted with your sin. Just go to the cross. Go, God, Lord, I've sinned. I want to make you the Lord of my life. Lord, I've been a murderer. Maybe you're a doctor that you've been taking the lives of children and murdering them in the womb. Murder them on the table after they've been born. Maybe you're the woman who said, like Catherine Davis said, I was just selfish and I just wanted my way and it didn't fit in my vision, so I murdered my child.
Mm.
And just say, call it what it is, and it helps you relate to how evil it is. And then you could say, God, forgive me, which helps you relate to how good God is, because God will forgive you and cleanse you and restore you and even use you to prevent further children being taken in this murdering thing that we've identified as abortion. All these things have to work together, including the prayers of the saints, because for years now, Lou Engle and the International House of Prayer in Kansas City with Mike Bickle, and we ourselves probably over about a five-year period, and others throughout the America have been praying, dear God, end abortion, send revival. And we are a land of laws based on a system that says, let the decision stand. And why this is such a major victory is now a decision has been made by the jury, and which happens because of the Sixth Amendment of the Constitution. And every justice is going to have to deal with that decision. Every attorney is going to have to deal with that decision, because they're going to hear it when they start arguing their case in the future, when future abortion doctors are being on trial for murder.
Right.
The defense attorney is going to say things, you know, whatever their defense is, which they should defend them or her. But then the prosecutor is going to say, well, according to the case, the Gosnell case, Gosnell versus the state, you know, and they're going to go, oh, great, because that case stands. And it does away with all previous decisions at that point once it stands. That's why they'll take it to the Supreme Court and try to snuff it out. But you can't snuff out murder.
That's all right.
You can't snuff out murder. And so they have to deal with, why was it a murder today outside the womb, but a week ago it was not murder in the womb?
Mm-hmm.
You know, they have all these things they're going to have to argue with right now. So this is a great beginning step versus justice for these three children. For all the future babies that their lives would have been. And of course, I think he was closed down. His clinic was closed down because of issuing illegal pain medication or something like that. I think it's reported by CBN News.
Yeah.
But in that, when they went to go close out his clinic, they found out there was things in there that was totally not. They found body parts of the babies in the freezer, refrigerator, and all this different thing. And you think, well, why would he do that? Well, I don't know. But I know this, if you're going and you're getting human DNA, if you're going and you're getting injections of certain types of things for your cell structure based off of tissue from human beings, it very well could be babies' bodies just like this. Mm. It's called, I'm drawing a blank right now. No, you can tell me in a moment.
Embryonic?
Yeah, stem cell.
Stem cell.
The stem cell, and people were like, because you know, the first thing that this current president did was to, you know, do away with that, you know, because President George W. Bush said no to the stem cell research. And now you say, well, why would he keep baby parts of their bodies like that? That's where children, not adult, but baby fetus, they call them fetuses, but these babies, obviously, now they know it's murder. He had these murder babies in there so that someone can have that stem cell research done, or to inject those stem cells into somebody's body who might have Parkinson's or whatever that is, so that the cell can regenerate itself or something, they say. And it's like, is our life living worth taking another life? Is it worth sacrificing a baby's life so that we can have life? It's like, why do we want to live? Why would one individual have so much right to live that another human being would have to be sacrificed for you?
Mm. Wow.
Think about that. Why people want to live so bad? It's like, you want to live so bad that you're willing to prevent that right for some other, a child? Why is that okay? Granted, there was 50 million children, according to reports, that have been aborted, but why is it okay for you to kill another human being so that you can live? And they have adult stem cells and all that. Well, they were wanting was these children. Some of them were taken reportedly from the umbilical cords of born babies that are healthy and all, but a lot is reportedly taken from the baby itself. And it's like, how could you live knowing that this child was murdered so that you could live?
Wow.
Why not be ready to die? Why not give your life, your whole life, to the Lord Jesus Christ and say, you know what? I'm not living for this life anyway. Because if you make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, he's building you a city, there's a new Jerusalem, there's a perfect place with no sickness, no disease. And if you're suffering from a disease, I pray the Lord would heal you. And he is a God that heals all, he can heal all diseases. But don't fall for the sin of murder to be able so you can be healed. You just fall at the foot of Jesus and at the cross and say, dear God, I want to be healed, heal me. But if you were to die as a believer, you're instantly with the Lord standing in his presence. And understand this, that heaven is better than anything that's here. And not only that, there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth after an eventual period of time, which is a millennial reign, that you live forever with no sickness and no disease. And it's like we've become so selfish that we're willing to kill our children because we want a good reputation. We're willing to have a child use parts of a child's body, granted that it's a stem cell, so you can disassociate from that came from the child,
right,
for our own health. And Colossians 3:5 says, put to death whatever belongs to the earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. And his expectations of us, listen, this stuff, it's greedy. When we want to take somebody else's life to be able to have our life, that's greedy. That's like saying, listen, I don't have money. You do have money. So I'm just going to rob you and take your money so I can have money. Don't take it personally. I think I deserve a better life than I have. It's like, but then I'm not going to have you sell my money. And it's like, well, think about it with your life. It's like, hey, you know, I think I deserve a life without disease, so I think I'm just going to have your life taken, and I'm going to take parts of your body, your stem cells, and I'm going to inject them in my body so I have, because I deserve it. Well, what about the life you just took?
Mm-hmm.
It's greedy. It's all about self and self-seeking and selfishness and idolatry and greed. And dear God, forgive us for being so ungrateful and that we want more and more and more and more. I mean, the poorest amongst us are richer than 80% of the world in America, but yet we still are dissatisfied. And we're going to be talking in the extra hour
that there's an organization called, I believe it's called Not Kidding, that that they actually celebrate no children. They celebrate no children, that life's about them, and to have children would just take away from them. This is the mindset that's being promulgated in our country. It's just so encouraging, isn't it, Pat, to see that justice after even praying for so long and seeing, you know, you think, does anybody care? Does anybody hear? God, are you going to respond? Mm-hmm. You know, and isn't it?
Yeah, it's beautiful. See justice being served.
Yeah.
Finally.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think it's just the beginning.
Yeah. Well, you know, talking more about Gosnell, the Gosnell case, where yesterday that an abortion doctor in America was convicted of murder because the children were born alive. And the law states that if a child is born alive on an abortion doctor's table, a murdering doctor's table, that it has constitutional rights and it's a patient has to be taken care of. And that was passed under George W. Bush. Mm-hmm. And so he was convicted yesterday by a jury of his peers, according to the Constitution, the Sixth Amendment in the Constitution. And he has three counts. Out of five he was charged with, he was convicted of three counts of murder, first-degree murder. And so he could be facing the death penalty or life in prison. And a lot of people have been praying. A lot of things have happened. This is let the decision stand moment that continue to pray. And you know, this is things going to continue. But I think about, obviously, everybody's talking about abortion and things that are happening. I'm wishing I had more of a preparedness because I have a future program that we're going to be doing. But some of it is, you know, it really began not in 1973. It began in the 60s. And it began with birth control, with the ability to, you know, some interviews that you'll be hearing in the future on VFN Radio, the ladies themselves saying, you know, prior to birth control, most of us were sexually pure. We were all virgins because we were scared we were going to get pregnant. Mm-hmm. But once the once we had the ability to control whether we were going to have control birth, then the sexual revolution came. But then they found out that birth control doesn't always work. And so they had to live with the ramifications of the sexual revolution, and they started having these children. Well, then they had to find out what they began to do is begin to abort the children wherever and however they could. Mm-hmm. And they would, you see a clothes hanger quite often where they would reach inside of their womb and pull out the baby. Mm. But that's what the doctors do now.
Yeah.
It's just not a clothes hanger. It just happens to be forceps,
right,
a drill, a pair of scissors. And Gloria Steinem, they were trying to find someone to be able to pen a case on to, so that the decision stand. They could find a case, they could make a case, and if they make a case, then all the decisions would stand on that and they could work with this case. And a particular lady had died, I believe, in New York trying to do her own personal abortion in a hotel room, and they had pictures of her. And so she took pictures of this lady that had killed herself trying to kill her baby and put it in her magazine. Mm-hmm. And with that, people's hearts were stirred for the woman, but not for the child.
Right.
And so that began the whole movement towards, you know, finding a case. And finally they found the particular lady, and her name is not Roe. But they found her and grabbed her and ran with her all the way up and made a case, and they took it to the Supreme Court. And she's a Christian today, but she was used at that point to get their case because they were working on it for a long time. So what happened in 1973 was a lot of work that was taking place in the 60s, which you have, and during that time, you have Hillary Rodham Clinton, you have Gloria Steinem, you have, I could list them all day long, but we are not prepared for that part of the program. So really, it began in the 60s. They say like 1963.
Wow.
But it's the late 50s when the birth control came on to the scene. and Gloria Sanger, or Sanger, I meant, that was part of getting this pill produced, her goal was to eliminate part of society. That was her goal. And she was wanting to do away with particular people in our society. And today, what Gosnell's doing is what Sanger had in her heart to do. That's what she wanted to do. And so that spirit even still lives on from 1959 or 58, whenever this thing came to pass.
Mm-hmm.
That here it is, that same spirit is going through Gosnell, and African-American children are being killed by an African-American doctor. That's just racist. Uh-huh. You know what I'm saying? And that was his patients. Reportedly, they're saying that's all he had as patients.
All right.
He's killing African-American children. And as you heard earlier in the first hour, that the African-American pastor is saying that, he said, I noticed that I had women that came into my church on Sunday, one Sunday, and they'd be pregnant, and they'd come back the next Sunday, and they wouldn't be pregnant anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And he was starting to realize they were going to Gosnell's clinic.
Right.
And it's like, my goodness, what is happening? You know, what are we doing in the context of this? Well, now they're having organizations. It's called, there's a story, it's called on CBS, this is last Sunday, in regards to just the two of us, childless by choice.
Mm-hmm.
You can actually see this on The Torch. Go to VFNTV.com and click on The Torch and watch the whole program. Of course, they started with the Duggar family.
Right.
And the Duggar family is not childless.
Not at all.
I think they have 19 children, the Christian family, and a great example. And people are drawn to what's right. Isn't it amazing?
That is amazing.
And they just avoid what's wrong. They started with them, but now we're looking, this is in 1970, they report that 1 out of 10 women were childless in 1970. Today, 1 out of 5 women are childless. 1 out of 5. And they've developed organizations called Not Kidding. And the purpose of it is these couples saying, it's all about us. We don't want any kids. They're finding another man or woman to marry who doesn't want kids either. And they want to spend all their wealth and all their life and all their time just on them.
On themselves.
On themselves. But the question are these the children of the Gloria Steinem generation?
Oh, wow.
They said, listen, my mother didn't even want me. And it's like, what's going on now? It's just this whole mindset against having children. And I think about, the author of the book, What to Expect When Nobody's Expecting. And he talks about how the birth rate has to be maintained at a certain level. And if it's not maintained at a certain level, then you lose the nation. Mm-hmm. You totally lose a people group. You lose the nation. And in that, we are under that birth rate in America. So it's just a matter of time before. And that's why you see an immigration take place. America will not survive. America is a land of immigrants outside the First Nation people, the Indian people that are here. And that if you cannot sustain your nation through birth, then you have to sustain it through migration. But when you do it through migration, you change who you are as a nation. So basically, you're just sustaining a piece of land, but you're not sustaining your identity and who you are. And that's why you hear people talking about, when you come to America, you need to. That's why we took the U.S. Constitution test,
mm-hmm.
And you need to be loyal to America. You need to defend the Constitution from enemies, foreign and domestic. You have to swear to that to be a citizen. You have to renounce all loyalties to princes, kings, potentates, and all this. That's all part of the pledge that you have to pledge to come over here. The thing about it is we're not taking that seriously enough because people are coming. They're more loyal to anything other than America.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're faced with a dilemma, if we're not going to have children, if we do conceive a child, if we murder the child in the womb, I mean, 50, think about 50 million taxpayers that would be on the tax, paying taxes today.
That's right.
50 million. We only have 300 million Americans here. So imagine 50 million paying. That's a huge, we would have no problem with the baby boomers retiring to take care of medical needs right now.
Mm-hmm.
If we'd have decided to have the children.
Yeah.
But you might not have had so much in your 401k because it would have cost you to have a child and to raise that child.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the Daily VFN Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Don't forget to share it with your friends. Find out more and listen to the Daily VFN Radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with your mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com.